Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabihari. Gopi jana malaba giribaro dhasati. Gopi jana malaba giribaro dhasati. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna tira banachauti. Yamuna Tera Manachagati. Jai Hurad Humadava Kunjabihari. Jai Hurad Madhuva Kunabihati. Gopi jana malaba giri baladhari. Gopi jana malaba giri baladhari. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna tira vanachati. Yamuna tira vanachati. Jaya Ranupadhuva Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunabihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatikacharya Osutera Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Vedanta Goti, Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Huridas Thakur Ki Jai, Param Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shitwaita Gadadha, Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna, Gopi Gopina, Shaim Kunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamanamai Kijai, Shimani Lassi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai. Go, Premananda, Hari 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 Go. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and actually we're continuing our class, and I'm just going to read the verse, and then we'll go on with our explanation. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, verse 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. No bugs. Okay, no bugs. Okay, so I'm just going to read this text again real quickly. Shanai Shanai Jahu Pankam Stalayanya Mamam Cha Virudha Yataham Amatam Dira Sherira Dishvanatmasu. And the translation is, gradually the different areas of land gave up their muddy condition and the plants grew past their unripe stage in the same way that sober sages give up egotism and possessiveness. These are based on things different from the real self, namely the material body and its byproducts. Okay. So, Om Gana Timananda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, this verse, of course, is about anarthas. And just to reiterate or to go over some of the, I guess I should speak louder, some of the things we were talking about before, I just really have to be specific about what an anartha is. And excuse me if I wasn't specific about what an anartha is. Artha means something you want. The word artha. Sometimes it's taken as meaning money. Like in dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. You know, the four purusharthas. Purusharta means the goals of human beings. That's very interesting. We were talking about this before, a little side note. The word purusha means male generally. So when we talk about purusharta, we're just talking about the four goals of human life, material goals. For males, no. We are talking about the four goals of human life, material goals, for males and females. And there was a discussion about this in the class almost several days ago. It was actually Monday. We discussed whether when the male term is used in Sanskrit, does it indicate both male and females, only males? So we had an interesting interaction about that. And so I consulted with the foremost Sanskrit expert in the material world. And he said, it's according to the context, which is the same thing as English. You know, like if we say mankind, usually that means womankind too. Of course, nowadays you may say what peoplekind, humankind, sorry about that, humankind. And in the Bible, you actually have re-edited the Bible to say he or she or it, just to make sure you cover all your bases. But actually, that's the way the language was used, even in Sanskrit. According to the context, purusha can mean all people or can just mean males. And actually, another point is that none of us are purushas, even me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm hiding out my actual gender. What that means is that we're all prakriti in relationship to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme male, and the rest of us are female in relationship to Krishna, ontologically female in relationship to Krishna. That doesn't mean our gender in the spiritual world is female, but it means our nature is female prakriti. Prakriti, of course, means it could be taken as meaning female. It can also be taken as meaning energy. So we are all Krishna's energies or expansions. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. And of course, as we all know, Manaksha Shtani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati, we are struggling with the senses, of course. Okay, so let's get back to the point. So there's four Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And of course, there's a Panchama Purusharta. Pancha means five, which refers to prema, or love of God. So we're interested in that. We should not be interested, perhaps we are, we should not be interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Dharma means like performing religious ceremonies and things like that just for the sake of profit, adoration, distinction, or becoming rich. We shouldn't be interested in Artha. We shouldn't be interested in Kama, even though there's a Vedic literature called Kama Sutra. For those who are lusty, they can read that. And certainly we shouldn't be interested in moksha. We've been talking about this in the Nectar Devotion class, how a devotee is not interested in liberation. A devotee is not even interested in the four types of Vaishnava liberation. We talked about this in class the other day too. You know, the Sarupya, Samipya, the Salokya, and Sarshti. And I'll tell you what that means. We're not interested or asking Krishna to live on the same planet with him, to associate with him, to have the same opulence as him, or to even look like him. That's interesting. I was actually reading last night before I took rest, because at night I like to read about Krishna's pastimes, about this wonderful demon. His name was Pondraka. Some of you may be familiar with him. And Pondraka, along with his buddy Kashi Raj, they were in Kashi or Benares. And Pondraka had the gall. It's an interesting word, gall. Comes from the liver. He had the gall to say that he was actually Vishnu, and he challenged Krishna. He said, give up your symbols. And so he actually had all these artificial symbols tied to his body or something like that, a conch and lotus and a club and all these other things. And so Krishna was laughing at this whole thing. So he went to challenge this particular rascal, Pondraka. And Pondraka said, you give all these things up. And Krishna said, okay, I'll give them all up to you. And especially I'll give you my chakra. So he gave him the chakra and cut off Pondraka's head. So the reason I'm telling that story is not simply because I'm immersed in that story. The reason I'm telling the story is because Pondraka actually got Sarupya Mukti. Because he had dressed up. Imagine how merciful Krishna is. That even if you're thinking of him out of envy and intensely and thinking, I'd like to have his form, I'd like to have his weapons and symbols, then you can go back to Godhead. That's not bhakti, though. Bhakti is actually favorable. Anyway, so let's get back to the point. So Purusha, Purushartas. So anyway, the point was we were talking about anarthas, okay? Artha, anartha. And Kunjabihari asked me the question, is artha is part of the process of devotional service? And I said, no, anartha is a part of the process. Artha means, things you want in this world, like a new computer, a Tesla, and things like that. And anartha means things you don't want, like, what don't you want? You don't want it to be cold out? No, that's not it. You don't want lust. You don't want anger. You don't want greed. You don't want envy. You don't want fear. And of course, in modern society, people, not only do they want these things, but they've developed modern mechanisms for achieving these things. There's a lust pill called Viagra. Don't buy it. There's a lust pill, and there's so many things like that. People are so lusty. It's just unbelievable. And, you know, anger, you know, people go to, what is it, football games and everything like that just to get angry. And, you know, people are upset now because of COVID. They can't watch all the games that they were supposed to have watched. And, you know, just like, and even the president of the United States bragged, you know, I brought back, what is it, basketball or football or something like that as one of his primary accomplishments. Can you imagine that? So lust, anger, greed, you know, wanting more and more. And then fear. People like enjoy fear sometimes. They actually go in these roller coasters or amusement park rides just to scream. Or when I was young, I went in a horror house. Many times my parents were taken. It was fun, like having ghosts and skeletons jump at you. So, and greed, envy. You know, envy is there, you know. Just like so. I mean, I remember one time in Miami, Christopher, you remember this, that there was one young man associating with a young girl. And I think it was Krishna Priya happened to just talk to that young man, even though she wasn't so young at that point. I guess she was. So, and then this lady became so upset, she went out on the balcony ready to throw herself off the building in the sixth or seventh floor of the building. So, you know, envy, you know, just like what someone else has, whether someone's a better preacher than me. You know, there's so much envy we have. And anyway, so all these are anarthas, things we don't want. Why don't we want them? Well, for several reasons. Because they're interfering with our Krishna consciousness. They're impediments, things that are in our way. And secondly, they're making us disturbed all the time. And if you're lusty, your mind is always disturbed. And if you're angry, your mind is disturbed. If you're anxiety, your mind is disturbed. I mean, like yesterday, I mean, because this is a spiritual cause. One of my disciples unfortunately was not able to get into the United States. They wouldn't let her in. And I was communicating with immigration, and it was like an anxiety, and I was disturbed and unhappy. Of course, that happens. I mean, for Krishna, I'm still disturbed about it. Anyway, so it doesn't make me happy. At the same time, I accept that as part of my service to Krishna. You know, anxiety about, you know, yesterday also we had a GBC meeting. We were informed about a potential lawsuit against the movement that would cost millions of dollars. And so these things don't make you happy. At least it doesn't make me happy. It's not a child abuse lawsuit, don't worry. It's something completely not so much related. So anyway, but for Krishna, we're willing to accept what would normally be an anartha. This is very interesting. Like we get angry, for example, at people who are blasphemous. I was hearing Prabhupada's class this morning, and Prabhupada was talking to this Mr. Patel. Is really, I love these conversations because Prabhupada is really like laying into him or blasting him. And so Mr. Patel is basically saying, with a Mayavad philosophy, you know, everything is Krishna. And Prabhupada is trying to make him understand the philosophy of Achincha Beta Beta Tattva. You know, this one, everything is Krishna. And Prabhupada talked about the body. You know, we have a body. And yes, it's a body. Everything is the body. But there's also a hand like that. And then Prabhupada started actually screaming at him. He said, you're worse than a child. Because even a child would understand if I point out that's a hand. If I point out that's a head. And I point out that's a foot. And what's the whole thing about? Even a child understands that and you don't understand it. And it's probably, it was such an interesting exchange that Prabhupada had. So anyway, so the point I'm making is that anger is used in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, and Krishna, of course, says, you know, I am kamo asmi in Bhagavad Gita. What? I am lust according to the principles of religious principles. You know, people have Krishna conscious children. And also, if you're very greedy, I want more and more for Krishna, as Prabhupada said, they could take a picture of him wanting more and more for Krishna. So And fear is also used in Krishna consciousness. Does anyone know how? What are we supposed to be afraid of? Maya. Prabhupada said, the problem with you boys and girls, actually there's a lot of boys and girls here now, and old boys and girls. So that's an oxymoron, an old boy and girl. So anyway, so the problem with you boys and girls, you're not enough afraid of Maya. So practically all these different anarthas can be utilized. They're not anarthas anymore. They're arthas, things that we want in Krishna's service. So anyway, but we want to get rid of the anarthas, you know, like material lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. And so there's a process for getting rid of these anarthas. And of course, that process is bhakti. So I'm going to read something that Prabhupada said. Let me see, where is that? And of course, that process is chanting the Lord's holy name. But then I'm going to answer a question, is why doesn't the holy name take away these anarthas immediately? So Prabhupada said, this is a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10, from a class Prabhupada gave. The Hare Krishna mantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. It is not expensive at all. You haven't got to make a very elevated throne for Krishna. Of course, you should try to do that. You can imagine, in my heart, I have placed now a very diamond throne, and Krishna is sitting. So probably means externally you don't have to do it, but internally you should do it. That is accepted. It is. Actually, it becomes, even within the mind, you think, I have kept one diamond throne, very costly throne, because Krishna is coming. He will sit down here. That is not false. That is a fact. So you create such a situation within your heart. Now Krishna has seated. Let me wash his feet with the Ganges water, Yamuna water. Now I change his dress to a first-class costly garment. This is meditation, of course. Then I decorate with ornaments. Then I give him for eating. You can simply think of this. This is meditation. Swantastena gadavarta. It is so a nice thing. Anywhere you can sit down and think that Krishna is sitting in your heart and that you are receiving in such a nice way, they are not false. They're also a fact. It is so easy. So sometimes people question, and here's the answer from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur from my notes. Why doesn't the holy name get rid of these anarthas immediately? If Krishna is sitting in your heart, you're giving him a diamond throne. Hey, what's happening, Krishna? You know, Namaya Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shila Nichamukto Vinatvam Namanamino. What does that verse mean? That the holy name is completely spiritual, is pure. Nama Chaitanya Krishna Chaitanya, it is the full form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is complete. It is, you know, Shuddha pure, eternally liberated. So what's happening with the holy name? And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur answers it very nicely. He says that holy name has the power to purify you immediately. Of course, Krishna has the power to do anything. I mean, just like he did with that Pondrika rascal we just talked about. You know, I wish I had the same mercy as Pondrika. I mean, I don't want to have Sarupya Bhakti, but. So anyway, but he's unhappy with the offenses against it. Therefore, he doesn't completely manifest his power with offenders, which is basically all of us. But still, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, we're still protected from Yamaraj, so you don't have to worry about that. So now we have to talk about offenses, you know, especially the first offense on chanting, which is actually the most serious. Of course, many times Prabhupada would say other things like sinning on the strength of chanting is the most serious, but if you analyze all the offenses, the offense that is actually, let's say, destroys your taste for bhakti the most is actually the offense against sadhus, sadhu ninda it's called. So anyway, so how do you relieve yourself from this sadhu ninda? How do you cure your mentality? And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, first of all, you have to take shelter of that particular sadhu who you've offended. That doesn't mean you take initiation from them. Although in the case of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, it's very interesting how seriously he took this. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was brought to see Pundarik Vijayaniti one time. And Pundarik Vijayaniti, of course, is Vrishabhanu, Radharani's father. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Radharani. So. But by the influence of Yogamaya, at least Gadadhar Pandit Goswami didn't realize that. And when he saw Pundarik Vijayaniti, he actually committed some offenses in his mind. Not verbally, not corporally, because there's a difference. Like the corporal offenses are the worst. Verbal offenses are bad. And mental offenses are bad, but not as bad as corporal or verbal. And that was brought out in the story of Brigham Muni's offending Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So anyway, so he thinks in his mind, this guy's just a materialist because he's dressed very nicely. You know, sometimes we judge a Vaishnava from his external appearance. And of course, that's prohibited. You know, one shouldn't think the Vaishnava is an ordinary person. The Marcha Bhujya Suyeta Sarvadeva Mayo Guru Acharyaman Viganyam Navamanyeta Akariyashit Namarcha Bhujya Suyeta Sarvadeva Mayo Guru. So Vaishnava should never be seen. And in fact, it's described if you see a Vaishnava as an ordinary person, then it's like seeing the deity as stone. One has hellish intelligence. So anyway, so he was seeing Pundarik Vijayaniti. And what did he do? Well, after Pundarik Vijayaniti showed his great devotion by being in ecstasy, he bowed down and asked him for initiation. Of course, that doesn't mean everybody you offend, you take initiation from. We'd be in trouble. So, but you bow down to their feet and beg for forgiveness. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, a sadhu or a devotee is any devotee, not only the pure devotees, even if you find a devotee who is ill-behaved, he says, you know, has some remnant of his past habits in this material world. And so you take the dust of his feet, and sometimes if your offense is so serious, then the dust of the feet may not forgive you. And that's sort of a metaphorical statement, that you're actually crying crocodile tears, you know, and you're bowing down, but actually you're not really repentant. Repent and you'll be saved. You're not really repentant. So still, what does it mean, the dust of the feet? To actually take shelter of someone's feet, one has to serve the person. It's not simply begging for forgiveness. One has to serve. And there are stories in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes about this, how they served. Like Jagai and Madai, actually, they ended up serving the Vaishnavas. They asked for service. Not only were they purified by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, but they constructed this ghat called the Madai ghat. If you don't know what a ghat is, it's not a cat. It's a bathing place on the banks of the river. And they used to serve all the Vaishnavas who would come to take a bath there. And so that's how they overcame that offense. And if one thinks by chanting you're going to be forgiven, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says you're guilty of another offense. So you really have to take the direct method for nullifying the offense against the Vaishnava, which is serving the Vaishnava. And sometimes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, sometimes the sadhus give causeless mercy and give the offender bhakti. And that's pretty interesting. And the example given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is Jatabharata. Jatabharata was a great devotee, but he was not recognizable as a great devotee. He was basically acting like a stupid idiot so that no one would bother him. You know, sometimes you find devotees acting like that. Of course, hopefully not in the Krishna conscious movement. But anyway, you may find great devotees just being avadutas and just acting so nobody will harass them. And I remember, you know, actually one of my godbrothers, Kusakratha, sometimes acted like an avaduta. And he was such a great devotee. He published all these different books and translated all these books. And I didn't, one of the things I never really appreciated him that much when he was on the planet, he passed away. So we have to be careful. So anyway, so Jatabharata was offended by King Rahugana because Jatabharata was carrying King Rahugana's palanquin, one of the four palanquin carriers, and he was jumping to avoid stepping on ants. And the king just like chastised them. And Jatabharata, instead of like getting angry with him, of course he did. He did correct him. Like Prabhupada said, I was also listening to his class this morning, where Prabhupada said, the guru's business is to chastise disciples. But one thing Prabhupada said was the guru doesn't give instructions to those who are not disciples. It's very interesting. And then Mr. Patel asked Prabhupada, why are you giving me instructions? And Prabhupada said, you know, this is the mercy of the guru. He actually oversteps that particular junction. He gives instructions to everybody. So anyway, so Jatabharata was being chastised by this king. And then finally, he instructed the king about the highest aspects of devotional service. And what was his like really important instruction? The one I remember the most was Rahuganai tat tapasa niyati, nachejya nirvapanat grahadva, nachandasa naiva jalagna surya brinaha mahapada rajobhishekam. That no one can become Krishna conscious by engaging themselves in austerities. And he gave a list of different austerities, like immersing yourself in ice in the winter, like the polar bear club, or putting yourself in fire in the middle of the summer, or taking sannyas. It's austerity. Of course, in Kali Yuga, sannyasis get all the everything, so it's not an austerity. That's funny. So funny, true. So anyway, so by immersing yourself, or taking sannyas, or becoming a good grahasta, that's an austerity. So you can only become Krishna conscious, and he says it in a negative way. So you cannot become Krishna conscious unless you take the dust of the feet of the devotee. So this is actually the secret to becoming Krishna conscious, and also giving up the anarthas. So we mentioned yesterday, of course, anarthas come from different sources, and of course, that I consider most seriously, the source of offenses against the holy name, and offenses against the Vaishnavas, and offenses against the holy Dham, offenses against the deity. Those are the most serious thing. And, you know, anarthas also come from sinful activities, pious activities, and the byproducts of bhakti, too. So we mentioned those four types. So let's talk about the different stages of devotional service. I mean, I could give several classes about this whole thing. And when you can expect these anarthas to go, or specific types of anarthas to go. Okay? And this is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And let's see, before that, I wanted to mention, I guess I'll just start with this. Oh, yeah, actually, this is important. This is based upon the stages of devotional service are actually correlated with different verses in the Shikshashtaka by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this is from the Bhajana Rahasya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So when we chant the Shikshashtaka, we can actually think that each one relates to a different stage of devotional service. And these stages, of course, are Shraddha, Sadhusanga, and Artha Navritti. We discussed today what an Artha Navritti was. All right, Shraddha means faith. Just to reiterate some of the things we said before, Sadhusanga means association with devotees, and Artha Navritti means getting rid of all the garbage, which we mentioned before, lust, anger, greed. Nishtha means being steady. Ruchi means having a taste. Krishna Ashakti means being very attached to Krishna and detached from the material world. Bhava means experiencing these extreme emotions. And that's a whole other class we'll get to in the Nectar of Devotion. And then there's two other stages, which is Vipralamba Prema. That means separation, which is, you know, Yugai Tamni Mishena, separation from Krishna. And then finally, there's Prema Bhajana Samboga, which is connection with Krishna, which is the last verse of the Shikshashtaka. So these different verses, the Shikshashika, and you think about this when we recite the Shikshashika today, not only refer to different stages of devotional service, which I can give a whole other class about, but also refer to different times of Krishna's day. You know, Krishna has this Ashta Kaliya Lila, where he does different things at different times of the day. Like first thing, he wakes up in the morning and he's in the Kunja. He's Kunja Bihari, not you. So he's in the Kunja. He's in the Kunja, that means the bushes, with Srimati Radharani, and everyone's trying to wake him up. You know, the parrots are trying to wake him up. Brenda's really in anxiety because if he doesn't get up and get back home, his mother's going to go into his room and find him gone. The same thing with Radharani. And so they're trying their best to wake him up. And finally, they wake them up, to make a long story short. And Krishna is so bewildered that he puts on Radharani's clothes and she puts on his clothes. Anyway, there's a whole other pastimes that occur. This is a little too intimate for Bhagavatam class. So anyway, so each of the verses of the Shikshashika relates to a different time of the day of Krishna, a different stage in devotional service, etc. You know, you have the end of the night, morning, forenoon, midday, afternoon, evening, late evening, and night. It's wonderful to think of it like that. So, and each of the verses of the Shikshashika also relates to a different pair of words in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? Pair of words. Like Hare Krishna, that's one pair. Hare Krishna, another pair. I mean, I wish I had time to go over this whole thing. Like the first Hare, well, this first Hare Krishna is Shraddha, second Hare Krishna is Sadhu Sangha and Anartha Navritti. And then your Krishna Krishna is the Nishta. And then your Hare Hare is Ruchi. And then Hare Rama is Krishna Shakti. Hare Rama is Bhava, second Hare Rama. And Rama Rama is separation from Krishna, Vipralamba, Prema. And then your final Hari Hari is Prema Bhajana, Samboga. And that's the nighttime too. Anyway, so I know it sounds really complicated. And you don't have to think about that. Each time you chant the Maha Mantra, you go crazy. You go, Hare Krishna, morning. Hare Krishna, mid-morning. You can do it. Mother Amala can do it, but I'm not that advanced. I just try my best to hear the holy names. So just to give you an idea of when these different anarthas from different things go away, the Shraddha is the first platform of devotional service. Shraddha means you have faith, initial faith, like that. That's why you're going to be associated with devotees. And at that stage, your consciousness is absorbed and absolute in just thinking of yourself. And you're there's a little particle of thinking of Krishna or serving Krishna. And you got all these anarthas still like, they're like monsters, you know. You like a bad dreams like harassing you all the time. And then the second stage, Sadhu Sangha, you're still, like thinking about yourself. It's described as still absolute. And there's more of a trace of serving Krishna. You know, it just starts to come on to you. But, these offenses, I mean, the anarthas, they're still just like, every time you close your eyes, whoops, I still got another few minutes. Every time you close your eyes, they rear up their ugly heads, lust, anger, envy, greed, etc., like that. So then you begin to execute Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means, accepting initiation, but you're not so steady in devotional practices. You know, sometimes you're chanting your japa and you're thinking of Donald Trump while you're chanting japa. Happens. And, you have a lot of this false confidence. Yeah, I'm really devotee and I know what my spiritual identity is. That happens, actually. Sporadic endeavor, you got enthusiastic one day, the next day is blah. You're blah. Indecision, you struggle with your senses. you can't really stick to all your promises and vows and you keep overeating. And you're just trying to enjoy, you know, devotional service means I'm a nectar hound. I'm just trying to enjoy the facilities of bhakti. So serving yourself is still pretty full, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And you have a little more desire to serve Krishna's called partial. But because you're chanting Hare Krishna, the anarthas from past activities, you know, pious and impious activities, are almost gone. I mean, almost gone. It's pretty good. And your activities, if you're doing it properly, from offenses, are partially gone. And also your anarthas from the byproducts of bhakti, wealth, etc., like that, are partially complete. Okay. And so then you get to the anartha nivritti stage, which is like you're really working on these things. You know, really trying to get rid of the anarthas. And as you're trying to get rid of the anarthas, you come to the steady stage because you have this goal now. Actually, after you start Bhajana Kriya, you actually have a goal. You're more focused. And, you know, these anarthas are impeding my spiritual progress. I want to get, just like if you see somebody in this world that's impeding your progress or impeding something you want to accomplish, you want to get rid of those impediments. So then you come to the stage of nishta. And nishta means it's characterized by absence of lethargy or excessive sleep, distraction, by the absence of these things, indifference, bad habits, and absence of taste for material enjoyment. But you still have some mode of passionate ignorance in the background, but they're not really affecting you. They're ineffectual. And you really have an intensity, and it's easy for you to hear and chant like that. So at that particular point, your consciousness is almost gone about serving yourself, and your consciousness of serving Krishna is pervasive. You really want to serve Krishna, and you're completely freed from past, the anarthas come from past activities, and partially, it's said pervasive, from anarthas against offenses, and you're complete freed. And not complete is not the end of it, because that complete is different than absolute, because you still have that tendency, they may come back, those anarthas, or those particular activities that cause the anarthas. Anyway, so then you get to ruchi, and ruchi, of course, is what I mentioned before, two types, depending on quality of favorable elements and environment, and in other words, doesn't depend on favorable environments and elements. And then you're really, your consciousness is really almost fully focused on Krishna. And at ruchi, Vishwanath Chakravarti describes, then it's absolute. Your freedom from anarthas that come from wealth and, oh my God, sorry about this. Okay. Anyway, so finally when you get to prema, everything's absolute. In other words, there's no question of them coming back, but in bhava, your anarthas, some of your anarthas, just let me finish this thing. In bhava, your anarthas from past activities and offenses can still come back if you're not careful. And that happened in the case of Bharat Maharaj, who eventually became Jadabhart later on. So I know there's a lot more to speak about, but we'll have to end this right now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Govinda, Hari Krishna.
Thank you. Brother